Today's lesson comes from John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Hear God's word. 6 days before Passover, Jesus entered Bethany, where Lazarus, so recently raised from the dead, was living. Lazarus and his sisters invited Jesus to dinner at their home, and Martha served. Lazarus was one of those sitting at the table with them. Mary came in with a jar of very expensive aromatic oils, anointed and massaged Jesus' feet, and then wiped them with her hair. The fragrance of the oils filled the house. Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, even then getting ready to betray him, said, "Why wasn't this oil sold and the money given to the poor? It would have easily brought 300 silver pieces." He said this not because he cared 2 cents about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of their common funds, but also embezzled them. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. She's anticipating and honoring the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you. You don't always have me." And so, let us take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. This is a passage that can at times seem a little confusing and can be misinterpreted and misunderstood. When we come into the story, we know that Jesus was there for this family. They've been friends for some time, and Jesus was teaching and away when he got news previously of Lazarus' death. And there was a lot of confusion about that as well. A lot of people saying, well, why couldn't he have been there to prevent it? And if you recall the story, he did an amazing thing. He came and he wept by his friend's side, and then he brought Lazarus back to life. Can you imagine what that must have been like? I mean, think about it. Think about what it would have been like if it was you. You had a brother that you loved so deeply, and he's taken from you. He's gone. He's dead. And then your friend, and you've been listening to his teachings, but this friend, and you're feeling mixed feelings about, here you've seen him heal so many others before, but it never even occurs to you that anything can be reversed. You just know he's gone. And if only my friend could have been there to save him. And then he's alive again. So now, here they are together again. And it's this joyous celebration around the table. So grateful, so glad, still shining from the miracle of it all. And Mary, who always does think about things a little differently, Martha being the practical one, still being practical, still serving. And I can just imagine Mary thinking to herself, I can't believe Jesus did that. I can't believe Lazarus is right here. I can't. There must be some way to show him my appreciation, some way to thank him. Consider too, that Jesus has put himself at risk. Because there was this kind of understanding that as long as Jesus stayed on the other side of the Jordan, well, they kind of let him do his thing. But for him to cross the Jordan, to come and heal Lazarus, sort of broke that unspoken rule. And to raise someone from the dead, and all the noise, all the talking about that, all the reaction to that, the priests and the Pharisees were angry. And they knew that this could not continue. They knew they had to put it to a stop. And Jesus knew that. But he was not out to save his life. He was out to share it and to give it. And so he was here at the table with them in love, even though it seemed that no one really understood except Mary. And all she could think, how can I thank him? How can I honor him? How can I show my love for him? And so I can see her sitting there thinking, I would do anything for him, anything. How can I show him? I would give him anything. And it hits her. That bottle of perfume that would have been worth maybe about 20,000 or more in this time. A laborer and his family could have lived on it for a year. But it was the thing she had of value. And so she came to him with this bottle to show him how important he was to her, how much she loved him. And she broke open that bottle. Now, if she had anointed on his head, it would have been a sign of anointing a king. But no, she anointed his feet, which is a sign of his burial. And she did something else that would have been totally misunderstood in that time, and that was she took her hair to dry the feet after she rubbed in the oil. Her focus was on Jesus. Her focus was on showing him, giving him her all, showing him now everything that he meant to her. And also showing at the same time her trust. This was her wealth. It would never come back. It would mean struggling in the future. But she trusted that she would be provided for. And so this was not only a sign of her love, but a sign of her trust. And then there's Judas. He's already recognized as being a cheat. And so he's going to try to maneuver the words, try to make it seem like somehow she's done something really stupid. That could have been sold. It could have helped the poor. That's it. It could have helped the poor. He just knows he's lost out some money. He could have gotten a good piece of change from this. One of the bigger truths in this story is how we see even today. We continue to see people who try to cast themselves as being followers of Christ, but are still trying to manipulate things, still trying to angle things, trying to find that little angle that makes them look like good people, thoughtful people, but looking out for their own self-interest. And we see that even in terms of how the passage is interpreted, where Jesus says, the poor will always be with you. There are those who try to say, well, hey, the poor will always be with us, so why should we worry about them? They're always going to be there. When that wasn't what Jesus was saying at all. He recognized that Mary got it. That Mary was putting him first. That Mary wanted to glorify him now. That she wanted to give to him now, not when he was buried, when he was gone. And of course, she had no way of knowing what would follow, but she just knew she wanted to show him her love now and show him her trust now. So what does this mean for you and me? You know, that's always the question I ask. Because these passages, they're powerful and they can be beautiful. But for me, it always comes down to how do we live our lives as Christians? And what is Jesus trying to teach us and show us? I think part of what he's trying to show us in this is that we have a lot of confusion. And as we were talking about earlier, in our prayer. We have so many voices coming at us that would lead us astray. And it's so easy in our world to find things, seemingly good reasons, to justify wrong decisions. And so the very starting place of this for us is recognizing that everything we have is Jesus. It all belongs to God. Every single bit of it. We're entrusted with some of it. And God wants us to be wise, absolutely. But ultimately, it's all a gift. That's one lesson that we never can forget. So our starting place has to always be to recognize God and His gift to us, His blessing to us. The second thing to remember is that we need to trust. Stuff, value. I mean, think about it, even in terms of perfume, seriously, being worth all that. Is it really? Why is it worth all that? Because people say it's worth that, not because it really is worth that. There are so many things in this world that we give false value to. We put this value, we cast this value on stuff and forget that the real value is in our relationships and the things that we can do for each other, the ways that we can show love for each other, the ways that we can make life better. Stop and think about in your own life the things that have really mattered. Yeah, you might enjoy some bling now and then. You might enjoy some things. They're fun, but they're soon forgotten. It's not what's going to go with you. It can't be taken anywhere. The things that have mattered to me have been one, kindness that's been shown towards me, and opportunities to show that kindness to others. It's in the relationships. It's in the caring. That's where the wealth is. That's where the gift is. So we have to keep remembering and reminding ourselves that all the stuff in the world is just stuff. And that God is there, trustworthy, and there looking out for us, providing what we need as we need it. And even in those times when it seems like we don't have what we need, there is something there. He's giving us opportunities that we may not even be aware of. And finally, we need to understand, yes, the poor will always be with us, but that does not mean we can stop caring. The poor will always be with us, and we will always have a responsibility to do what we can as family. Some of these passages can be confusing. But there truly are lessons for our daily lives, reminders. And if we continue to keep God front and center, if we continue to remember that the stuff is just stuff, if we continue to trust and we continue to show our love in every way we can, we'll be following. We'll be following the one who gave the ultimate exercise of love, giving His own life for each of us. Let us pray. Almighty God, You continually bless us even when we can't see it. You continually show Your love to us. And we pray, Lord, that we would show our love to You and to each other. In Your name. Amen.